Hey, folks, welcome back to podcast number 8, 9.
I lost track.
We're losing track. That's a good sign, yeah. Isn't it? He's Mike Clark. I'm Carl Zahn. He's the lovable and cuddly Dominic Zahn riding shotgun over there. What's going on, guys?
I don't know. It's Friday. That's how much I know. That's the only thing that's important to me right now.
Always good to date a pre-recorded show, Mike. Okay. Awesome. Nice move out of the gate.
I didn't see what year it was.
I'm telling you, we were just joking, folks, before coming on the air. And by the way, Carl Zahn, he's Mike Clark. We're at Clark Creative Studios. He's Dominic Zahn. You can learn, learn more about me. Why? That makes it sound like I'm a plant.
I'm going to study you.
Makes it sound like I'm a plant. You can check out my live comedy schedule. How about that? At Carl, K-A-R-L, from NH.com. And that's also where you can listen to this podcast, which is odd because if you're hearing me say that, then you've already found the website and you're listening to the podcast. So let's start with a huge redundancy and a date misstep by Mike Clark coming right out of the gate here on our podcast.
Really?
Well, you know, he said, hey, it's Friday.
And it is Friday,
but it goes up on the website on Saturday, so people like to listen. See, I got that radio hangover thing where you're not supposed to say good morning or good afternoon.
Yeah, you're not supposed to time stamp anything. I understand that, right?
Don't time stamp anything.
So I send
you got
right
that,
out of
Dom?
The gate.
You're learning already.
Yeah.
You're learning about radio. I figure what we usually do here, because there's so much other stuff to talk about, we'll warm up by letting Mike and Dom do a little sports talk. And I see, of course, Mike, you have that sports jingle with Mike and Dom all done, pre-recorded.
No, I've been working on that.
Yeah, this is like the assisted living recording studio. We were just joking coming in here.
We don't use pop filters. We use drool filters in
drool
the studio.
We have tin cups hanging off the microphone.
Yeah. Hey, but the rates are good.
What's up with, so say you, what's up with sports, Dom?
I guess we'll start in football.
Let's start with football.
Where everybody's making moves except the Patriots.
Oh, not true, though.
Not a big move.
Poor Vince.
Poor
Vince.
I know. They're just saying today that they're expected to decline Revis's option.
Now, that's dumb, I think.
That is dumb.
Yeah.
And it's almost fact that you almost saw it coming, that Belichick never pays his corners, even though that they're...
Yeah, but it changes the whole defense.
Exactly.
I mean, it makes everybody else look better on the team, and, you know, everyone else come in more money at the end of the year because, you know, team wins.
The rest of the AFC East is bringing in these big-name players. Yeah, Buffalo gets LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a Giants fan, I love it that he's out of the division now.
But that's true, yeah.
The Jets just get Brandon Marshall today.
Oh, so did they? I didn't hear that.
They're stacking up their wide receiver core. I mean, they don't have a quarterback, but...
See, but, I mean, that's the Patriots, though. They don't play that game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And somehow they find a way to win.
They'll find that draft sleeper. That's what Belichick likes to do.
He's a master at it. Yeah.
The only person who prefers to trade down in the draft and still manages the best rookies.
Yeah, he's that good of a coach. You know,
he really is.
Yeah, he's incredible. What else is going on? I don't know what's going on. I don't follow baseball that much, so I haven't been watching.
Not really.
Have they started playing games yet? They probably
A little bit of spring training.
Yeah, yeah.
I know as a Yankees fan, I finally got to see A-Rod play. I mean, I wasn't really looking forward to it, but he was playing.
That'll be in the news constantly.
Yep. Of course, you know. I mean, you could see already his timing is extremely off, but, you know, he's 39, hasn't played in a year and a half.
But he's still A-Rod, so, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, exactly.
What's he doing over there?
I'm taking notes. Look at me. I got these big Coke bottle
glasses
now. Did
you write down Gay Rod? That's
I look up. I look like Rick Moranis from...
You do,
Yeah. You guys actually startled me. I forgot there was a podcast going on.
Yeah, we're
here.
Just talking sports here.
I got so wrapped up. I'm doing, Mike, since you ask, is I'm transcribing from this tiny, tiny print.
It looks like a blur to me.
Yeah, it looks like somebody dropped black thread on a piece of white paper. Yeah. I'm transcribing that into some notes that I can actually read without my glasses.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I thought you guys were doing so good talking sports.
Yeah,
how come you guys shun spring training?
I don't know. I'm not a huge baseball guy.
Yeah, but
guy.
It's a ritual. It's not about you. About the audience.
It's just spring training.
Yeah.
The best players don't even get in that long.
Yeah, but up here, it's more than spring training. It's like maple syrup. It's like sap buckets.
It's
spring training, my fine feathered radio protege friends as a sign of spring, warmth, sun, hot dogs,
it's
baseball,
the it's the end of
pie.
One misery, winter, and into another misery, the Red Sox. So there you
go. There's that. I thought you were going to say black flies.
Well, that too.
That's a New England thing. Dom actually quizzed me earlier in the week about some local stuff about town meeting coming up and the library edition. So we don't want to get too far in the weeds on local stuff because that's when people change their channel. But
right.
I liked that he was starting to watch out for, you know, he's starting to earn money now. So already 18 years old, he's bitching about his taxes.
Right. He wants to know where it's going.
Not even paying property taxes, and he's pissed already.
Wait till you get paid property taxes around here. Ouch.
But what's the deal? He said there's some huge, massive addition
to the town library.
Milford?
Yeah.
Which already had quite a nice addition.
It's still kind of dinky, though.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I actually did the dirt work for the big addition there about 25 years ago for Aho. Aho Construction. That's not a joke, ladies and gentlemen.
Do people still go to the library?
They're trying to knock out the building behind them and expand parking, but I've never seen the parking lot full.
Does anyone go to the library?
People still go. Kids and old people and perverts. I mean, it's the same.
Well, yeah.
And I think in that order.
I'm in the last two of those categories, and I never go to the library.
You're not getting like one of those guys that's over there at the newspaper rack?
No.
Right?
Okay, I've been over there a couple
times. I like to go to the library just to use that long wooden pole that holds the newspaper. You remember those things?
Oh, yes,
do they
I
even
do.
Still
I mean,
have
no,
those?
I
Dominic
don't.
Probably does know what I'm talking about.
I don't go in libraries.
Yeah, the newspapers hang down.
Yeah, they used to have a long wooden pole. And
oh,
like
we
newspaper.
Have one of those
oh,
at the high school.
At the high school. Look at that. Yeah, there's like a long wooden pole that...
how many times do you need to say long pole?
Well, I was going someplace with that. I said the long wooden pole that in libraries has historically been used alternately to hold a newspaper and or sodomize young disabled children in the children's books.
But
section.
Really, why would you need to go to the library? You know what I mean? You can find anything you want online.
Yeah, they
you?
Want like a big computer lab. But I have an iPhone in my pocket.
You know, you tech freak guys.
I know, yeah, we poo-poo the old school
stuff.
Yeah,
you kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Someone was making fun of me the other day about who reads newspapers anymore. They saw me holding a newspaper, and I said, you know, it's a newspaper's nice. You have a cup of coffee.
I still prefer magazines, too. I have to say that.
Yeah,
it's
who
tactile.
Doesn't like magazines?
Yeah, you get to turn the pages.
Yeah,
you
touch
know.
It. And, you know, I know the kids.
I enjoy the newspaper.
You do once in a while? Because I know the kids, and it's not your fault. It's just a cultural thing.
Yeah, it's just...
Everything's in the screen now. Books.
Yeah, everything.
The whole notion of, like, reading a book in a screen is...
Although I have to say, I read this magazine called Sound on Sound. Okay, it's about... studio work and, you know, mixing
things. We kind of
things.
Figured that from the title, Mike.
Okay. But anyway, it has audio.
Sound on Sound. What is that, a baking magazine? Cooking?
Oh, he's going to be like that today, I see. But anyway, the advantage to some magazines, like, for instance, this, I read it on my iPad, and they give you musical examples of different mixing techniques so you can hear. I couldn't hear things off a newspaper. True?
No, I read a magazine called... pasta, sauce, and meatballs, which naturally,
and you could eat
naturally,
the page.
Naturally, which is about asphalt paving and the construction business.
Fuck you, Goff. All right.
You know what? I have to get you back for the time stamp. You know, right out of the gate, he mentions Friday.
What's wrong with Friday? Everyone loves Friday. No?
TGI Friday.
That's right, baby.
You time stamped the show, man.
Well, you keep bringing it up. They would have forgot about it by now, Carl.
Time stamped the show. I can't help it. It's fucking eating at me, man.
Wow. You know? I'll never do that again.
That's the type of thing. Yeah, you'll learn.
I'll be fired after
today's
show.
You'll learn what it's like working with me, you know? It's a minefield.
I'm going to get one of those wooden long poles and never mind.
Look at poor Dominic. I'm his father. Poor kid's a nervous wreck over there.
Yeah, I can tell.
Lake Worth, Florida, ladies and gentlemen. Population 36,000. The town of Lake Worth has decided suddenly that all churches should have a business license. And, of course, people think it's all about the money. But here's what the town is doing. Let me put my Rick Moranis glasses on for a minute.
Okay. Why do you look intelligent?
It sucks getting old, I'll tell you that.
Tell me about it.
And I'm only making it worse by bringing in this tiny, tiny printing. It's like even my computer is against me. The town of Lake Worth in Florida, they sent out code enforcement officers, Mike, cloaked in a hoodie to spy on a particular Southern Baptist church that was meeting in a coffee house. So the building department is sending out undercover
in hoodies
code enforcement agents in hoodies various churches. And this town has a population of 36,000, pretty much like Milford, right?
Right, which is pretty small.
Yeah, maybe even a little smaller. I don't know. I always get a kick out of these things where, you know, like building departments gone crazy, building departments gone awry, you know, gone bad. They go out and they start busting balls in churches of all places. Yeah. Dominic, is a comment on that, Dom?
Nope.
No comment whatsoever. No comment.
I'm not a big church goer, so.
Well,
I'm a pedestrian, so.
Dom is just warming up to the whole, town thing, the town meeting thing. I thought I could segue from the town meeting and taxes into this Lake Worth, Florida thing, but it fell flat on its ass.
So you're not allowing me to do any more segues after the cleavage thing last week?
You had some rough segues there last week.
Did I? I thought they were right on.
I mean,
I enjoyed them.
Thanks, Tom.
It was like the bull ride of segues. It's like you're hanging on, the bull is snorting, someone clicks open the gate, and Mike goes from, as I recall, folks, we were talking about a young girl who was calling 911 while her father lay dying in the street, and within seconds, Mike had taken that to something about cleavage.
Yeah, I don't like to go to too many dark places. I started to slip into a dark place, so I immediately thought of the cleavage, and it brought me out. It snapped me out of it instantly. I think it snapped Dom out of it.
But you like going to the edge of a dark place.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have a name for that. I'm not sure. Some kind of illness. Dom and I were talking about kind of the big news last week, and this ties in with just two or three or four podcasts ago. We were talking about the Saturday Night Live anniversary episode where they kind of recapped 40 years. And I was surprised and pleased to hear Dominic say that he liked a lot of the old stuff better. So recently, I think, maybe a week and a half ago?
Earlier this week.
Yeah, so Saturday Night Live, would have been last Saturday night, as a matter of fact, does a skit on ISIS. Did you see this on the news?
I didn't, no.
This was to make fun of the, I guess, Super Bowl commercial where the guy's kind of teared up and his daughter is going to the airport.
Going to the army or something.
Yeah, right, and he gets kind of teared up. It was a big Super Bowl ad. So the Saturday Night Live does a takeoff on that, and the guy pulls up. He's getting choked up and, you know, take care, honey. And then she jumps out. She jumps into the back of a pickup full of ISIS guys.
Oh, no.
Who are yelling death to America, and the father says, take good care of her. And the guy goes, oh, we will, you know. Well, big brouhaha.
I did not hear anything about that.
It's pretty, it was funny because the news covered it and people were like kind of 50-50 people going, look, this is what Saturday Night Live has to do. This is like the Paris cartoonist. This is satire.
Sure.
If they stop doing that, then they won. And then another 50% going, come on. And I guess I find myself in the latter group going, and as a comedian, you know, some things are not worth the laugh. Other things are, it's too soon to do it.
Right.
Other things I think are just territory you don't go. And I would put that, and again, I'm not passing judgment like, hey, this is the comedian law.
Yeah. Don't you think you have to take chances, though, being a comedian?
I think there's a lot of ways to take chances on that ISIS thing and make fun of it without going near. And my feeling is, and again, jaded because I'm a parent,
right.
Jaded further because I'm a parent of a daughter, but
and those knowing that just lost their daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Knowing that just 3 or 4 weeks ago, these people had a daughter beheaded. Yeah, to me, it's not
too soon.
Yeah, it's too soon. It's not worth the joke, and it's almost like deliberately edgy. What do you think, Dom?
What joke are you talking about? It wasn't funny.
See, there you go. That's
even, it's not even funny.
Right?
It's
right just hard
funny. Yeah, and there's a young kid.
Yeah.
So to me, there's plenty of ISIS stuff that you could make fun of and make fun of them.
But, you know, don't you feel that that's what's going on in media? I mean, people feel that they need to shock people whether it's right or wrong, just to get the publicity.
Oh, yeah.
Bad publicity is sometimes better for your show than good publicity.
Oh, yeah.
There's more people will tune in.
Yeah, you know? There's no question. A lot of people grab for the shock factor because
if
you play it right, I guess if there is such a notion, it can make you famous overnight or get you that million hits on YouTube that you're looking for.
Right,
or whatever.
Exactly. It's in poor taste, though.
Yeah. That was my take on it. Bottom line, poor taste. I remember one time when Bill Maher had made fun of Sarah Palin's, you know, Down syndrome baby.
And, that's,
you know, a lot of people came down hard on that, including me going, you know, not worth the joke, unseemly.
No.
And I think in the end, you lose more fans than you ever gain with something like that because people will remember a really funny, good joke forever, and they'll also remember something like that forever. So to me,
absolutely.
Not worth the joke. Plenty of ISIS stuff to make fun of without getting that risque about it.
Exactly.
And I'm not even sure I would go to ISIS if I was Saturday Night Live right now. Too much nasty stuff going on there. I saw today in the news where they bulldozed some big historic religious, you know, burial ground and building that had tons of really significant.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a while.
Religious artifacts.
Stuff that cannot be replaced.
Yeah, just bulldozed it. Right. So these guys can't think.
What is that accomplishing?
I think it's meant to accomplish what everything they do is, which is to get under our skin.
Right.
And see if they can get us to do something crazy or, you know, I'm not even sure. It's almost, I mean, to me, there's a Saturday Night Live skit in there somewhere about someone who just can't go crazy. They can't go crazy enough. It's like, well, let's try this. You know, that didn't, America didn't drop a nuclear bomb on us. Let's try this.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, it gets worse and worse and worse.
Yep, it's true.
Well, so you're on the side of no go on the ISIS skit.
I mean, you could even do like an Obama skit where, you know, he hasn't done anything, even though all the stuff they're doing over there is, you know, horrendous.
They're barely, I think, in the last maybe 6 months coming out with some Obama jokes, you know. He's revered. The creative Hollywood world is overwhelmingly liberal.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get hammered. I mean, look at Biden. Yeah. Did we talk last week about the Biden mishap there? I can't even remember with putting his hands on the woman's shoulders.
Yeah, we didn't hear anything about that. Did they do a skit on that on Saturday Night Live?
I mean, you know, Biden, you could do a whole show on
Absolutely.
Biden every week, right? I mean, Saturday Night Live, the entire show could be about nothing but Biden every week.
And it'd be very funny.
The guy's just, he's a gold mine. He's the gift that keeps on giving. But so creepy, you know, and then the Giuliani thing, preceded by the Giuliani thing of Obama doesn't love the country, which to me might be a no-brainer. I think Giuliani might be right.
Yeah.
But the thing
but
that
he has the balls to come out and say it.
And, well, that's of course, crazy, he's man. Rudy, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit.
And the one thing that could be worse than that, of course, is Biden loving the country too much and kind of doing a reach around it, grabbing Mississippi's ass.
Genius, Carl.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The only thing worse than a president that doesn't love the country is Biden loving the country.
Too much.
Does the reach around, grabs North Dakota's tit, you know. Little nipple rub there. Little whisper in the ear. Can you imagine having fucking Joe Biden's nose in your hair and ear? Did you see him with that woman?
Yes.
I mean, he was canoodling her and had his nose on the neck. And
I was
whispering in her ear. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's like something you might do if it was your daughter. Maybe at a
maybe if it was your daughter, I might do it. But,
at the library.
Yeah. Is that one of those long newspaper polls that you just happen to see?
You had to say poll once more, didn't you, Mike?
It's
50 minutes. It's Friday, a week before you're listening to this podcast, as you can tell by Mike constantly reminding you and our dated news stories. It's 50 minutes from last week, this week, with Carl Zahn, Mike Clark, Dom
That's
Zahn.
A big show. What's the name of it with Oliver?
Oliver Stone?
No. It's on HBO.
What?
He does, like, stories about the news last week.
Last week? this week.
What's the name of that show?
I'm drawing a blank. Yeah. I can't even think of
it. I didn't even know Oliver who.
Yeah, it's,
oh, is that the Oliver kid that used to be on Daily Show?
Well, I don't know about
John
that.
John Oliver? Is that his name?
Yes, I think it is. He has a big show on HBO, and he does news stories about stuff, like makes fun of the news stories that happened the week before.
Old stuff.
Yeah, so he took your idea, Carl.
So he took our idea before I had it.
Yeah. Actually, in my defense, the cleavage thing was breaking news at the time I brought it up, so.
Let's see. I'm just going through my show prep notes here. Big Jets slid off the runway at LaGuardia yesterday.
Would you shit yourself if you were on the plane? I know I would.
Well, the thing about the jet, probably. You can't see out the front.
Do you see the size of that thing?
So all you can see is out the window and see runway.
But you know something's going wrong.
I don't know if you do if you're a passenger.
You just think it's a shitty pilot?
Well, yeah. You're just looking out the runway and you see yourself landing, right? You'd know if you were a pilot or you knew like you see the runway lights going from, you know, blue to white to red, like the end of the runway lights, and then there's no runway lights, and then there's grass, and then there's ocean. Because didn't they come?
They were almost in the water.
They came to rest right in the edge of the water.
Yeah, scary stuff.
Yeah, that's one of the things that freaks me out about LaGuardia flying commercially, because the runways stick right out into the water.
Logan isn't much better.
Yeah, Logan's kind of the same way.
You know, I was just there today. I mean, the water's right there, baby. You better execute the landing correctly.
I've come into both of those airports on commercial flights at different times when I looked down and saw fish looking back at me. Like you could actually see the whites of their eyes.
It is kind of scary. You fly planes.
Yeah, it is scary. Yeah, but I hate flying commercially, but it's...
That's because you're not in control. It's like
it's about as uncomfortable for me as it is for everyone else, probably.
Right. Well, it's kind of like, you know, some people don't like to sit in a car when someone else is driving. They prefer to drive.
But to answer your question, I'd be shitting my pants, wouldn't you?
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I think there's something innate that tells you when you're on a plane that's not slowing down in enough time or something's wrong, you know? There was another one, I think, American flight a couple days ago, cabin filled full of smoke. They brought that down somewhere. That to me, might be even more scary because you're in the air and the plane's filling with smoke. Fire on an airplane like a boat is a big bad problem. Speaking of big bad problems in airplanes, Harrison Ford, huh?
Yeah. That was a cool plane, though. What is that? Was that like a vintage?
Yeah, some vintage war plane. I forget what it was.
He's crashed before, though. They had a thing on the news this morning about
it. Said.
Yeah, and I don't mean just in the movies, but, you know, like, but he's, I mean, I guess he's a pretty good pilot. Like,
said he's been flying since the 60s,
right? And like, he's been involved in like rescue missions, like finding lost hikers and all kinds of cool shit.
Yeah. Is he a relevant dude to your generation, Harrison Ford?
Yeah,
semi-relevant.
Somewhat relevant, I guess.
What were the big movies you were in? I'm going to quiz you now.
Quiz me now.
See, he doesn't know.
He's not that relevant.
Well, what was the one that made him famous? Indiana Jones?
I would say Star Wars first.
Star Wars first, probably.
Oh, yeah, Star Wars.
The Indiana Jones series was good, too. But...
Yeah.
And I wasn't a big Star Wars freak, so I wouldn't have known
Han Solo, right? Was that his?
Yeah.
Yeah. And first Millennium Falcon.
First movie ever, Harrison Ford? American Graffiti.
You're right. He was an American. Who directed it?
Spielberg. I know Richard. Spielberg.
Yeah.
Did Spielberg do American Graffiti?
He did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You ever seen that movie, Dom?
I have not.
Wow, that's a good one. You know why you
should watch it? Should.
That is a great movie.
Well, anything Spielberg, you know.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
Got famous in that movie, and that was actually a great movie. That it kind of captures California in the late 50s, early 60s, whole drag racing
coming of
scene,
age thing.
Coming of age, hot cars.
Yeah,
great movie.
He's done some good films though. Witness is a really good film about the
Fugitive. The Amish kid. I thought he was very good in The Fugitive.
Yeah, he's done some good films.
Yeah, Harrison Ford. And
I was just flying around crashing.
Well, even he was the manager for 42, or the owner of the Dodgers. Jackie Robinson movie?
Really? I didn't see that.
Oh, it was a great movie.
What's the name of that movie?
42.
Oh, yeah.
All about Jackie Robinson,
No, I haven't seen that. It's a good
and
movie.
He's the manager
it's a good
movie. That?
Yeah, he's like the owner of the Dodgers, and he plays the person who pretty much decided, let's bring in Jackie Robinson.
cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Hey, Harrison Ford, solid actor.
Was he seriously injured? Or
I think he got a pretty good gash and got bumped up a little bit. Yeah. He landed on a golf course just short of the runway. There were a couple doctors there. Big surprise.
He's kind of badass for 72, though.
All the news people are like, incredibly, there were a couple doctors near. I mean, come on. And it's Santa Monica golf course. I would
it's all doctors.
It's all fucking doctors.
Of course,
right?
they all had, you know, like four martinis in them, too. So,
I still whatever. Better than no doctor.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. Looked like you did a pretty good job. There was a big rut, like either the prop or something like that caught. But I don't know. It's always painful if you fly airplanes because you hear all the news people start saying all the stupid shit that they always say. They only half know what they're talking about. But I would say he did a good job. He did, you know, I mean, if I lost an engine on takeoff and I came out with that outcome, I would say I did a pretty good job. He flew the airplane, kept the wings level, and he didn't
die. And landed around a bunch of doctors.
Yeah, he didn't die. He didn't kill anybody. Yeah. And,
do you golf, Carl?
No, I don't golf.
No?
Do you golf, Mike?
No, I'm thinking about taking it up, though, because I like the kind of sport that you can actually drink and, like, drive around on, and it's nice out. And
yeah, that's great, Mike.
Yeah, okay.
For a family show like this.
So this is a family show?
You like golf because you can drink and probably smoke pot, honest.
I've only tried that once. I may try it again.
Out on a big sunny golf course.
Gorgeous.
Driving around someone else's golf court,
yep.
Or golf cart, drunk.
Absolutely.
And probably incurring property damage before the day is over.
That's my kind of sport. Actually, do you even consider golf a sport, though, really? Isn't it an activity?
It's more of an activity.
Yeah, like bowling is not a sport either.
It's a hard activity for me anyways, but...
Yeah.
Golf? Yeah. Hard?
Super hard.
Oh, yeah, I think it takes skill.
I only play mini golf and it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes some skill, but it's never something that's appealed for me. For one thing, it takes, what, 4 hours?
Yeah, it looks really boring.
Yeah. I've always taken it as it looks like something, a way for desperate men to get away from their wives for the better part of a day.
Yeah. Yeah, they just, you know.
Right?
You're probably right.
And in that capacity, yes, I like golf.
Well, look at Tiger Woods. He only slept with like 11 women.
That we know of.
Wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there was much sleeping going on, Don.
No,
but
probably not.
Yeah.
I like that you still have that childlike innocence about
you. Doesn't he go out with like Lindsey Vaughn now or something?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's what a lot of the girls said about Tiger, is he liked to snuggle.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
He's got to do something now. He sucks at golf now.
He's awful. Yeah.
Is he really? Did he like ruin his whole game after all that?
He gets hurt every tournament, every time he has to withdraw, every time, after
he went through that divorce, he was a mess, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't follow golf, so I never really followed any of that. We're back to the sports now, but now he's
got Lindsey Vaughn now, so I wonder what's par for that hole.
No, I want to get some mileage out of this pause. I mean, let's let it go. Let's let it go. Let's see what we can do with it.
Okay, I'm gonna insert a cricket sound effect in that one. Okay.
For anyone listening, you know, that's how quickly, just like flying airplanes, that's how quickly things can go horribly wrong. It just comes.
I thought it was funny.
It just comes to a screeching halt. It is funny. Dennis Miller, I can't believe I have to say this now. Used to do that a lot with people who call in and there would be like some connection problem. They weren't really sure. And they, hello? And then you just let it. You go, no, let this go.
It kind of builds anticipation, though, like what is going to happen next.
Yeah, after a while, it's you just want to see where it will lead, if anywhere.
Is his show done on a time delay?
7 second.
Is that
Just gives.
Is that required by the FCC now?
Yeah, or? I think it is. It gives guys like you enough time to
beep.
Yeah, beep out a bad.
Is that your stockbroker calling?
If you need to, no, that's you know, it's amazing the people who call. You would think a lot of people know by now. I'm on the air, Mike.
You are actually.
You know what it is? It's because Thursdays at 4 is
right, and today's Friday.
Yeah.
You haven't been tearing up as many papers today. I don't know.
No, I'm trying to save that. I don't want to overdo that
sound
effect. I like
that effect last week, though. Seeing it's the only sound effect
I don't know
afford.
If you remember, but the guy who owns the studio has promised to put together some sound effects for me.
Yeah.
You know, that we might have a little bank of stuff that we could call on in the middle of a show. Unfortunately, 9 podcasts in, that just hasn't seemed to happen yet.
Yeah. Well, I you know, I was thinking maybe we'll go old school and go with Foley. Do you know what Foley is?
Anyone? No, huh? I have no idea.
Oh, it's the way they used to do sound effects for films before we had electronic samplers. Now they load sounds into a keyboard and play them as they watch the film.
Oh, kind of like the Three Stooges used to do?
It's Foley. So what they do is have this giant studio with all these different surfaces, like walking surfaces. So if there's a guy walking, like, say, in gravel on the screen, they'd mic that up, and there's actually a guy that actually does the physical sounds.
We could do that.
Yeah.
So I think we should. We'll bring some pots and pans and whistles and.
Couldn't we just like
we'll do Foley in here?
Couldn't you isolate some Three Stooges sound effects? Because there's
sure.
Theirs always seems so organic to me too.
They are. Yeah. They probably did them themselves.
I'm sure. Exactly.
They didn't have samplers
like that.
Back then.
Yeah. You know? I think I've seen some of those old clips of the guys doing exactly what
Foley
you're talking
players.
About. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's a lost art form.
There you go.
Yeah. What a great job that would have been, huh?
Yeah, it's a lost art form.
Yeah. That's right up there with. Time-lapse photographer and warning label author. My dream jobs. Drawbridge oiler. That's what I'm looking for. High-stress job like that. So, Dom, did you pay any attention, you and your young friends, to the speech this week by Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel? You guys follow stuff?
I did not see it, but you mentioned it. That it was
yeah, big deal.
Important.
Huh, Mike? Did you see any of that?
I did not. I was, I didn't watch too much news this week.
He spoke to Congress this past week, which everybody knows was a big deal. The Republican House invited him there. The president was pissed off and actually made no secret about being pissed off.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi actually wept, that insipid little vapid fucking crow. So pissed off that
really
he was
feel?
There. God, she just tries
to stand her.
Nancy Pelosi actually wept at the notion of Benjamin Netanyahu coming here and undermining the president's negotiations with Iran. My feeling was, Netanyahu, nice to see an actual leader speak.
Right.
Just to remember what that actually feels and sounds
about
like.
Some things that are important to his country.
Yeah, exactly. And just speak and, you know, completely plain, common, emphatic terms with no teleprompter, no bullshit, just this is how it is, this is from the heart, this deal isn't going to work, it puts Israel in great danger, and I mean, it's unbelievable. I watched some guy, news guy, being questioned by somebody going, do you think President Obama hates Netanyahu? Well, I wouldn't call it hate, but there's no love lost, and I'm thinking, no, he hates him, right? I mean,
yeah, I don't even really think he gives a shit what happens to Israel. To tell you the truth,
yeah, that's how I feel too. It's
weird.
Yeah, it's ugly, man. Ugly and weird.
Yeah.
Speaking of ugly and weird, Hillary Clinton. Yeah,
I knew he was going to segue.
That. God, you finally segued. You finally stayed on the bull for more than 20 seconds. So it turns out Hillary Clinton has like, 40 private email accounts that she does government business on while she was Secretary of Defense?
That's crazy. Now, is that illegal? I've heard mixed comments.
I don't know
that.
If it's illegal. I'm pretty sure it's illegal. I did read that the Clinton administration didn't allow it of other people when he was president. So
but those rules
tell
are
you
for
something.
Other people.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny, even the New York Times, big surprise, the New York Times editorializing on this said, quote unquote, that's just how the Clintons roll.
No kidding.
Yeah, nation's biggest newspaper. That's just how they roll. HillaryClinton1@gmail.com.
Now, was
don't
this...
bother sending any help to our ambassador in Benghazi. Right, we're trying to sleep right now.
This is the whole Benghazi.
Tell
thing
the military
going on,
to
right?
stand down. Yeah, it's the same fucking thing. All these emails gone missing. Turns out she, you know, has all these multitude of accounts that they found in her home. I think there's, you know, she's got like a war room at home of servers and drivers and all these different emails.
Yeah, she wasn't even using like Gmail.
Secretary of Defense, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's basically what they're saying is, this is a danger to the country, you know, that your email can get hacked by
easily.
Just about anybody.
Yeah.
And you're the Secretary of Defense, and you actually, make military decisions and, you know, huge national defense decisions. It's crazy.
And again, the media will sweep it under the rug. You won't hear that much.
Of course, yeah. I mean, talk about only next to Obama is anybody more pampered and protected by the media than the Clintons.
No kidding.
It's just unbelievable.
Did you see, speaking of the Clintons, did you see the portrait they were talking about this week?
Yeah, Bill Clinton. Yeah. It looks like Ted Koppel.
Yeah, and it was Monica Lewinsky's dress in the background.
Oh, they said that there was some subliminal reference to Monica.
Yeah, it was like the shadow of her, that blue dress she wore, and had like white speckles on
it.
I don't know what
the... Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was awesome.
And this was a portrait they summoned,
in the National
right?
Gallery,
they commissioned?
Yes, it's beautiful.
Wow.
I love it when people do stuff like that, though, you know? Yeah. He probably pissed off the artist or something. I remember an incident with Disney. I was it was when I managed a video store. The Little Mermaid came out. This is a true story, too. And we got the first issues of Little Mermaid on VHS tape, believe it or not. That's how old it was.
Did they come in on a Friday?
No, we got everything on Tuesday. But
okay.
Today's Friday, though.
All right.
But anyway, I guess Disney pissed off the artist or fired him or something. So he did the illustrations for the cover of the original Little Mermaid. And all the castles were penises. We had to send
Come
them all
on.
Back. Yeah. It was like all these beautiful glistening penises, like with sparkling and the Little Mermaid standing in front of them. We actually had to send them back. Disney recalled them. So you got to be careful that, you know, you don't piss off the artist.
Did you really have to call them glistening?
They were glistening.
God,
too descriptive.
Mike, I don't know what's gotten into you.
It's an important detail.
Yeah.
Do you notice anything different with him this week, Dom? He seems frisky, like there's something this week, right?
Could have been a weird little fantasy DVD.
Yeah.
Could have kept one of those.
Yeah, I should have put it in the back room, I guess.
Let me tell you.
But it was funny, you know, that he pissed off, Disney pissed off
the
artist.
Yeah, that's great, though.
It's beautiful. I wish I'd kept it. It would be a collector's item.
Well, let me tell you something right now before we get too far into this. I love Disney. I'm not even joking. Walt Disney, I think, was a creative genius. The guy was
no doubt.
Yeah,
visionary.
Visionary. Creative monster, right? I mean, I see these documentaries on Walt Disney and I weep. Yeah, I mean, he had issues, of course. People like that are not without issues.
Most artists do have issues.
But one of the things that's funny, and one of the times we were there with you guys when we were young, and they have these little kiosks in downtown Disney, and they have this one where you can put your head, picture of your face on a bodybuilder's body and all these different things, you know. And I wanted to do one on a bikini body. And the girl said, no, we can't do that. It's not allowed by Disney. And I thought she was kidding at first.
Really?
You know me, how I love confrontation.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I said, so you're telling me that it's actually a Disney rule, and you know it, that I can't put my picture, even as a joke, on this bikini body. She said, it's absolutely a Disney rule. She goes, I'm not going to let that happen here.
No transgender photos.
And I actually told her when I was done, I said, you know what? I actually respect that.
Yeah,
thanks.
Absolutely.
That's what I love about Disney. I mean, they're like one of the last vestiges in this country of wholesome family. I mean, you can go there without being shocked or fear of anything like that, and then people will say, yeah, well, I bet they hate gays. No. Indeed, he was one of the first ones to hire in the 50s all these creative people. Think of the thousands of creative people in the arts that had secure, great jobs with Disney's. They used to call them Imagineers. Think about that in the 50s. Yeah. You know, how that would raise eyebrows, just that title. But, you know, drawers, animators, performers, people who want to dress up in costumes, people who want, you know, all these people. And they run it like such a tight ship. It blows my mind. The first time we went there with, you know, Pop, the late Dom's late grandfather, I had never been.
I've never been to Disney World.
And I was just fascinated by the mechanics of the place and like how it runs and how they built it and this whole underground city where all the food and comes in and the trash goes out and the workers, you never see anything. There's never, try to find a fucking light bulb out at Disney.
No, it's a machine.
Or a piece of gum on a sidewalk. I challenge anyone, it's a machine.
That's why I was shocked when they got the glistening penises through.
Oh, my God. It's Mike Clark, ladies and gentlemen, the rodeo rider of segways. He's out of the gate. He's holding on. He's got thrashed around. Oh, he's out for 5 seconds, and he brings a nice, beautiful Disney story back to glistening penises. Nobody but Mike Clark.
Yeah. I'll go in between. I think of Disney, Pop was handy capable with the little scooter.
Handy capable.
Yeah. So we take, handicapped.
Yeah.
But we take the little handicap line, waiting in this 2-hour line for this roller coaster.
You were one of those.
But then he tries to turn around, like, I'll see you guys after the ride. And they stop him, like, you have to go or your whole family has to go back.
Yeah. You have to paint the picture for Mike that Pop was.
Yeah.
350-pound, very successful North Jersey Italian.
We've talked about him before. Yeah, he sounds like a scary dude.
Who wasn't handicapped, he was just lazy. So he would get an electric scooter at Disney and basically run people over, knock people over.
Back. I love him.
We took turns.
Yeah, he was great.
All the grandchildren taking turns on the scooter.
Yeah, and then he'd get, because, naturally, like every big Italian guy, he'd have to bring like 40 family members and pay for the whole thing. And then you bring all of them through the handicap line with you. And people, you see people who just want to murder you and your entire family and the fat guy in the wheelchair and the scooter.
That's our family.
Yeah, traveling with Pop.
Oh man, yeah. I still remember his face because we eventually forced him to go on, so we didn't have to go back. They take a picture at the end. And
did anyone ever call you out on
We got some glares from people who were in the front who had waited the whole time.
Yeah, you got glares. He'd get yelled.
Nobody was ballsy enough to just call you out.
Like Curb Your Enthusiasm. Remember we talked about that?
But
when you're waiting in line at a restaurant, someone, if people walk in and they have friends that are ahead of you, they stand there and start talking to them. All of a sudden, they're in the line.
Exactly.
Line masters. At the end of the line, like, mom, just keep walking until you get to the front. Like, my mom's not in the line, but I mean, I'm here now.
So. He was so impervious and oblivious to all that that it was just, it really was. For me, it was...
Great memories,
very, very entertaining trips, and I'm glad that Dom remembers that with the same smile that I do, because it was pretty funny stuff. It was the kind of stuff most people never have the nerve to do. I think there must be there must be like a point after you have a certain amount of money where you just don't give a fuck about anything anymore, right?
I doubt I'll ever reach that point.
Me neither, but
unless the show goes viral, which it could.
Reached it, and combined with that North Jersey Italian attitude, it was a pretty dangerous combo. Liquid combo.
Love it.
50 Minutes with Carl Zahn. He's Dominic Zahn. I'm Carl Zahn. Carl, K-A-R-L, from NH.com. You can also contact us here if you've got ideas for the show or comments. We would love to hear your emails and feedback. How about this whole, thinking about old sayings and things that don't make any sense? And, of course, I'm always trying to try out new material with you guys, too. How about this old adage? You remember this, Mike, when we were young, opposites attract. The whole relationship.
Sure. Yeah.
I
don't believe in it.
Plus to minus.
I got to thinking science, about that. Yeah. Opposites attract, and I'm thinking, you never played with magnets?
You're right. They don't attract.
It's science.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
When you push them together the wrong way and they push each other apart. I'll tell you what happens with opposites, and it can be mistaken for attraction, because at first, you kind of fascinate each other, right?
How does she do that?
So at first you
would she do that?
Yeah, first you fascinate, and then after a while you irritate, and then you can't communicate, and before you know it, you litigate, adjudicate, probably in the probate with a magistrate, until you finally go home broke, lonely, and masturbate.
That'd be a good rap.
Right.
We can record that right after this.
Yeah.
That's how opposites attract in my book. Sorry, great. Speaking of memory lane, as we were earlier, and actually not so long ago with Dom's late grandfather there, saw a thing the other night on the great Andrew Breitbart. For those who don't know him, Andrew Breitbart was the outspoken critic, supporter of the Tea Party, critic of the liberal media. He's the one who blew the doors off the Acorn expose. If you remember that, he went in. They went into an Acorn, which is a like subsidizing welfare program type thing. He did this expose with a hidden camera where they went in and posed as they wanted to. They were pimps and they wanted to open a brothel. And the girl that's working there at Acorn goes, yeah, I think we can help you out with that and probably get you some grant money. So anyways, since you guys, you should Google him sometime.
I thought Acorn was that voter registration? They were.
Yeah, it was voter registration, but it was a government federal organization. It also did grant money and helped people out with different things. So Andrew Breitbart, yeah, Google the name if you don't know him.
That's weird. I've never heard of him.
He was very well known, and he was just kind of coming of his time, and then he died very young of a heart attack. He was married to Orson Bean. Dominic probably doesn't know him, but Orson Bean's like a great kind of movie star, soap opera star. Used to guest host on the Tonight Show for Johnny Carson. Orson Bean, who's probably like 80 now, so my father's generation, he was a great showbiz guy all around, you know, theater, movies, dance, talk show.
Vaudevillian.
Vaudevillian, just an all-around raconteur, you know. And he fell in love with Andrew Breitbart, as Andrew Breitbart fell in love with Orson's daughter and later married her and had kids. Orson's a guest on Dennis Miller's show from time to time. Dennis absolutely adores him. But Andrew Breitbart, just seeing this thing on Breitbart, this documentary on him last night, and it just reminded me of how much I miss him. He was this outspoken, like, in-your-face, you know, defender of the Tea Party, and he was the one who uncovered how the Tea Party once, you know, the liberal media, some group infiltrated a big Tea Party meeting with some guy who had like a swastika, and then it turned out he was a fake. He was a plant by this other liberal group.
Oh, my God.
They were always trying to destroy the Tea Party as being racist or somehow.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And one of the famous things that Breitbart uncovered was they had this famous clip of a guy at a Tea Party rally, and they showed his shoulder, and he's got a gun and a machine gun and a pistol slung over, but they cut off his head, and Breitbart was the one who found the whole picture, and the guy was black.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and, you know, that was the kind of stuff that Andrew did. But I just loved him, and it reminded me seeing this thing last night.
What's the documentary on? Is it like on Netflix?
It was on, I think, Newsmax.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll have to look it up. That sounds fascinating.
Well, he started a biggovernment.com or something like that. He started some website that's become very popular for conservatives, Tea Party people, and outlived him. He died very young, suddenly, massive heart attack, dropped dead. Real shame. But seeing that last night just reminded me, like, boy, he's just what we need right now. He was just starting to go places, you know, because people really backed him. He wasn't stupid. He was smart. He never stepped in anything that he hadn't already done his research, you know. And I just think, boy, we need a voice like that now. He was just.
Why don't you take over for him, Carl?
Because I tell you what he was doing, and one of the things I remember watching this documentary was scary. Because when you get to that level, there's people that want to kill you.
Sure, that's edgy stuff.
Man. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. There's people that want to hurt you, hurt your family.
Take some balls to do that.
Yeah, and that's the thing about him. Yeah, Andrew
Breitbart. We want you alive, Carl, and safe.
Well, I don't know if you guys do, but I know I do.
Well,
I'm
not that concerned.
But. Yeah, kind of, you know. I talk a tough game, but when you come right down to it, I don't want to get killed. Yeah, we covered a lot of stuff here, huh?
We did.
Biden, we're coming up on our 50 minutes here. Dom, anything you want to throw in as we...
Well, I guess I'll resurface the fact that our school is going under construction, or that little area of our roof collapsing.
Roof.
Yeah, our roof.
Really?
And they found a lot of rotten pipes up there, which you know, doesn't surprise me because nobody...
Oh, your taxes!
We didn't even shovel off the
your
roof.
Your taxes are going up, dude.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
Like so it's the proverbial can of worms that they've opened up over
there.
So
we've got predicted month of construction in that one room.
You know what? So all joking aside, that could have been so much worse.
Yeah,
no doubt.
You know,
no doubt.
Because just as easy as you can get that warning sign of like a skylight settling, that can come exactly. with an entire Yeah, our roof school
handled it really like well, that. Actually.
No, I'm just grateful.
I mean, you wish they'd kept better maintenance of it, but when the time came down to it, they got us out.
Well, and, I wish that someone thought about the 4 feet of snow on the roof before a stylite settled in. But I'm just thankful that it didn't all go at once and a bunch of people got hurt. That would have been a disaster.
Hey, you have your big show this weekend, don't you, Carl?
Oh, thanks. By the time people listen to it, it'll be over already.
Not necessarily.
No, nice of Mike to put one last negative timestamp on the show as we saddle up to the end of the show. Yeah, for those of you listening, I'll talk about the show we're doing tomorrow night, Saturday, for the KimCatesFund.org. Big comedy night with Johnny Peasy, Jimmy Dorsey, myself, food, drinks. Dominic will be there helping out. Thanks for bringing that up. It is.
Super
it's
fun,
be a
I'm
great,
sure.
Yeah, it's a super fun show.
And great cause.
Thank you to the union leader and Drew Klein over there. They did a little piece for us today. It's up on their website. WMUR in New Hampshire, Channel 9, is doing a little promo piece for us. So thanks, guys, awesome. For helping out. Dom, thanks in advance for your help with Dave and Jamie Cates, as you do every year. Mike, thanks for having us in the studio. I think it's been 50 minutes.